Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Josh McGrath Seguin, and we have a guest today. Josh, do you want to?
It's been a while.
You want to describe the guest? Or
he's another you.
He's another me. Well, not really, but kind of. So my brother's here, brother Theo. He's a big UFC guy, and you know he does watch other sports as well. So he will interject when he feels the need to. Theo, you wanna introduce yourself a little bit?
Hi, I'm Theo.
Yes, you are.
I'm Greg's twin, and I go to school at Western in London, Ontario.
All right, yeah, that's all we need. So
hey, this is our second Western guest.
It is, yes. We had
Isaiah
who's
Pemberton.
A basketball player? Yeah, Isaiah Pemberton came. He was how's he doing, by the way? Is the bat?
He's good. I'm pretty sure he's back in Ottawa.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Maybe we'll get him on one day again. But yeah. So this is our first segment. This is the NFL segment
and local sports.
And yeah, we're gonna split it because we don't have too much news from the NFL. So we're gonna split it. NFL first, then we're going to talk about the Blackjacks and the Redblacks and all that good stuff. So we're going to start it off here with the NFL and what happened in the NFL today. You want to talk about Josh? You want to say who got signed?
Kyler Murray signed a massive deal. He's now what you said, second highest paid player of all time.
He's the second highest paid player of all time, trailing behind Mr. Aaron Rodgers. So,
jeez,
we can talk about a little bit about this because, see, I think this is I understand it because as we see nowadays in the NFL, quarterbacks. Every time a new one signs, it's a higher contract for every quarterback, even if they aren't as good as the last one who signed. It's just a thing. The quarterbacks get
so top dollar.
Yeah, first it was Josh Allen, first it was Mahomes, then Allen, then it was Rodgers, and now Kyler gets signed again. So the contracts just keep one upping each other, and this was a massive one, especially for Kyler Murray, because as I stated to Josh, Kyler Murray, he's one of those players, you know, he's really good for like the first half of the season. And then he gets injured around midway point. And then second half, he just doesn't look as good anymore because he's banged up. And that also happens when you're a small guy. You tend to get banged up more easily. It happens in a lot of sports. It happens in basketball a lot, too. So.
And he's also just small. He's a really small quarterback.
He's a small dude.
You know? I know they're trying to think, like people tend to compare him to Russell Wilson. But the thing about Russell Wilson is that he's actually really good.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray, he shows flashes of it. But he can't even see over the O-line.
Yeah, he can't.
Even out of the pistol or the shotgun.
The man can't see anything.
It's rough for him.
Which is also tough because when he drops back, he has to drop back a far way so he can see over everything.
He does like a 10-step drop.
So, like, if he gets sacked, like, it's like second and 20 or second and 30, and it's not good. So, basically, the contract, let me get the details here real quick.
Like 5 years.
It was 5 years, $230.5 million, which is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And Arizona, I get it. You got to lock up your quarterback, your future quarterback. He's only 24. But I don't know, man. That's a lot of money for Kyler Murray. But I do understand what they're doing because the Cardinals, they brought in A.J. Green. They brought in DeAndre Hopkins a few years ago. And, you know, they're trying to make that push for the Super Bowl because they lost against the Rams last year in the wild card game where they looked terrible. Kyler looked terrible in that game. That was his first playoff game, so I guess we can't really fault him. But he was not good in that game. So
I mean, we'll see, man. Sometimes the money helps players get better, so you never know. Maybe he'll take a big leap this year.
I mean, I feel like usually the players get better when it's a contract year. Like, that's when they start playing at their best. And then when they get the money, they start to trail back down.
Hey, you never know, though. If he stays healthy this year, he could be really good.
I agree. Like, if he stays healthy, he could be really good. But so far, he's going into, I think this is his fourth year he's going into.
He's
going
to be similar to a Lamar, where in the playoffs, it's going to be easier to contain him.
Yeah.
He's smaller, so either going to just, like, Lamar, people spy him. For him, you're just going to blitz him as much as possible, make him get rid of the ball quickly.
Exactly.
So it'll be tough.
And funny about Lamar, because I was just about to say, so this opens the door now for Lamar's signing, because he hasn't signed yet, and he needs an extension. So looking at this contract, Lamar's going to get the absolute bag. He's probably going to be the highest paid quarterback of all time now after this next signing, because we saw it with, I think, so Mahomes signed first. He signed a big deal. And then Allen signed one in around the same range, like contract range. Like the money was the same. And then Roger signed one, which was like $50 million a year. And then now Kyler signed one for $46.1 million a year. So now I assume Lamar's is going to be in the ballpark of like 47 to like 52, around that little range.
Yeah, because didn't Mahomes sign like a really long deal, though?
Yeah, it was like 10 years.
Yeah, like 10 years.
Yeah. And I think it was, I think that was also like $45 million. So, so now the quarterbacks, the deals could keep going up and up and up. And now I think the Ravens are They definitely should have tried to sign him earlier, because now that they're waiting this long, the price is gonna keep going up. So
yeah,
bad choice for them. They're gonna have to pay him a lot of money. He deserves it. Lamar's the MVP, so he deserves that money. Kyler, on the other hand, I don't think he deserves this money yet. I think he will grow into this money. I don't think he'll ever win a Super Bowl, but hey.
But I feel like
I've been proven wrong.
Cards kind of had to pay him, because if not, like, another team would have.
Exactly, yeah.
Like Detroit definitely would have thrown that money at him or something, or like the Jags, someone like that.
Yeah, fair enough. So moving on from that, the Giants released some new jerseys. They're kind of like the – I think they're the same jerseys they had in the 90s.
Yeah, it's the 90s.
So just want to know, Joshua, what are your thoughts on those jerseys? I kind of like them because they're like classic, but
yeah. So my thing on jerseys, though, as of late, is companies are just getting lazy with the jersey designs.
I agree.
I'm not gonna lie.
I agree.
There's not much creativity in them. It's pretty just basic color scheme. I like the black helmet. That's pretty cool. But the rest of it, yeah, it's just pretty basic.
I agree. Yeah, I feel like the jersey designs nowadays are like they're trying to take inspiration from, like, older jerseys, and then make it a bit more modern, but it's just, like, just kind of plain. Like, I don't know. They don't really do too much, but, yeah, speaking of that, do you want to move into local sports here? You want to get into the Blackjacks?
Yeah, give me one second. I'm just trying to find their last game, but the app is being dumb.
Yeah, so...
All right, let's go with the CFL first, because the Red Blacks, I have that open right now. So, Red Blacks, as of last week.
Yes.
You know, they're already, what, 0-4?
0-5.
0-5. Now they're 0-6.
Yeah.
They lost to the Ticats, 25-23. So another tragic loss for the Red Blacks. Obviously, they lost their quarterback last week, like we discussed.
Yeah.
So this week, they had Evans step in. He actually threw the ball pretty well, 18-30. Not bad. 203 yards, but one touchdown, two interceptions. So that's not good.
Oh, yeah. Two interceptions. Yeah. It sounded good until you said two interceptions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's terrible. The receiving was really good, and their defense, like, played well. It's just, obviously, now without their quarterback, kind of sucks for them. They don't hopefully have anyone that's going to be able to take over a game late. And, I mean, yeah, it's just not looking good for them.
I mean, this is just tough, because they're just – every single week it seems like they're just losing in a heartbreaking fashion every time. Because, like last week, I mean, they kind of got stomped. But, like, besides that, like, it was like they lost to BC in week
defending
four
champs.
By three. They lost to – who else did they lose to?
They lost to BC twice, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they lost to the Blue Bombers 19-12. That was a close game.
Yeah.
And they lost to the Blue Bombers in week one, 19-17. So, like, I don't think they're a bad football team. Looking at these scores, I obviously haven't watched, a ton of CFL. But, like, I did watch a game 2 weeks ago. And they did look okay. Their defense looks solid. But they haven't won a game. And every game seems to be a loss in heartbreaking fashion. So, Josh, what do you think the locker room is like after losing like this? Like, every week it's just heartbreaking. Because, obviously, we've kind of experienced something like this. We're in our first few weeks of our basketball season. We lost by 6 and 7 points, and it was tough. So,
to be fair, though, in our basketball league, we went into that season thinking we were going to get smoked
every
game.
That is true, yes.
So we had a little more energy.
Yeah.
After those losses, because we're like, hey, we can actually get some games.
And then after that.
And then we realized, we couldn't. We just played bad teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for them, it's definitely tough, because they're sitting there in the locker room, and they're like, we're so close again. We did everything right. We just weren't the better team tonight. And that's the thing. It's like every game it's going to be like that for them. Who knows what they're going to do next. Obviously, they have to make some sort of changes, whether it's on the defensive side of the ball, offensive. They need to figure something out.
Maybe it's and also it's like losing their starting quarterback. Like, that's like a big blow. Because, like, as you know, in the CFL, you know, it's only three downs. So it's a thrower's league. And when you don't have a good quarterback in a thrower's league.
It's tough.
Well, then, you know, sayonara, you know, it's not good.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if the coach ends up getting fired.
That would make sense.
That's always where it goes. It's
like,
oh, we need to do something different. New coach.
Yeah, even if it's not their fault. It's like, maybe we'll just start here. Start with a quick fire. But you want to move into the Blackjacks?
Yeah. So last week when we did our show, the Blackjacks were going to Saskatchewan to play the Rattlers. You know, me and Greg got to see the game in Ottawa where they blew them out. They lost by two. Tragic loss.
Tough.
Yeah.
These Ottawa teams is just tough losses.
They are tough losses. Then we went and played Fraser Valley, who is, I think, the number two team in the league right now. Lost by 7. Another tough loss. But I'm pretty sure that game, Dangadel popped off. He had like 27 or something again. He let everyone know, hey, I'm still the best player in this league.
Best player in the league.
And then they played the worst team in the league, Newfoundland, and they lost by 14. How did we lose to Newfoundland, boys?
Isn't Saskatchewan the worst team in the league?
No. Saskatchewan's like 500.
Oh, they're good. Okay.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're better than the Blackjacks record-wise. But the Growlers are like now probably 4-10. Not very ideal to lose that game because they should have won that. But
what are the
not ideal.
What are the Blackjacks? What's the record? They have like 5 wins, right? Or 6 wins?
Let's go find out. I don't remember how many wins they have now. They're 5-12. So Newfoundland is 3-12.
Oh man. 3-12.
Yeah, so we're the third win.
Ah, tough. Yeah,
that is tough.
That is tough.
And then Saskatchewan, yeah, they're 500. So not very ideal.
But you know what though? I don't think they're like a. I think from what I've seen, I mean, when we watched them, obviously they played really well. But
played the best game of their lives.
I mean, from the the best game they've played in their lives ever. Yeah. But looking at this, like, and their box scores and all this stuff in these other games, like they're losing. Like they seem like they're a pretty good team considering like they have a decent amount of like they have like a few NBA like guys who used to play in the NBA. You know, good players like Walt Lemon, Deng Adel, both really good. And what do you think they have a chance to, like, you know, do anything? You know,
I mean, I think, like we were saying last week, they just need their role players need to be consistent because Deng and Walt Lemon, they do their thing.
Yeah.
But
Walt Lemon averages 18 a game.
Walt?
Yeah.
Yeah, Walt's been popping off. They gave him just the keys to go at it. But the role players, some games, they play well. Next game, no one can hit the rim. Game after that, like, two of them are playing well, but the rest of them can't get in the game. Like, it's just they're all over the place. It's just not consistent basketball. That's kind of the problem.
Yeah, true.
In my opinion.
So do you think so every team in the playoffs or in this league makes the playoffs, correct?
I believe so. It might be different now because they expanded to Montreal, but I'm pretty sure like every team makes it.
So Josh, do we think we have a chance here to win a playoff game maybe?
I hope so. It's taking place in Ottawa, so that'd be pretty cool if we can go and
imagine they win the championship in Ottawa. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice.
Have they ever won a championship in that league before?
No. So I think the last two champions were Edmonton, who are currently sitting at 9-8 record. Not a great season
for them. Who's the best team in the league right now?
Hamilton. And I don't think anyone's going to beat Hamilton.
What's their record?
13-4.
Oh, yeah.
Niagara's a close second. Niagara's a close second at 12-4, but I think Hamilton's just the better team.
You think Hamilton's – are they the likely favorite here?
Yeah. I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, 13-4, like that's it. They're like that.
Niagara is on a 5-game win streak right now, so it's a pretty big deal.
So looking at last season per se? Let's say, who do you think is the worst disappointment this year in the
Blackjacks league? For sure.
You think we're the worst disappointment?
Yeah,
but weren't we bad last year too, though?
Last year, at least they had like a near 500 record.
Well, I mean, they still got time.
There's like 3 or 4 games
left. Never mind, they don't got time. But yeah,
they don't have that much time.
So you think?
I think the Blackjacks, like their roster coming into it looked like probably the most talented roster in the league.
I think it still looks pretty good just looking at it.
Oh, like on paper they look great.
Yeah,
but when you watch them play,
they don't execute.
Yeah, they do not execute at all.
And you think it's the coaching thing? Maybe the coaching change was an issue.
You know, I thought that after 3 games, but you know, it's been another 14 games since then. So like, we should be getting it going now.
So what do you think is the issue then?
They just don't like. They just choose what nights they want to show up. Some nights they play defense. Some nights they only play offense. It just goes back and forth. They don't play both sides consistently.
And the role players don't show up every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Or every game.
Like we don't have a consistent role player that's like guaranteed. Like a good third option, I'd say.
You don't think there's one good third option that's consistently good?
No. Like Jackson Rowe was supposed to be him, but he's has his games, but overall doesn't play very well. What's their two guards' name? I'm blanking on it. But he's our defensive guy who always does pretty good on defense. The new guard, Kadri Gray, he's, like, decent, but he's not a scorer. And then Possumus, even, like, he's got moved to the bench now, I'm pretty sure.
Because he doesn't start anymore?
No, I'm pretty sure that other guy, the Lego guy, pretty sure he starts.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he starts now because he's been – like, he's the one guy that's been super consistent.
All right, so that's the scoop on the Ottawa Blackjacks in the local sports and the NFL. So we're going to throw it to a break. When we come back, we're going to do the NBA.
Hey!
I remember. I always forget the segments, but I remember this time. So we're going to come back. Please join us as we talk about the NBA. We're going to be back just in a few minutes here.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to The Press Box. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Josh McGrath-Sagan. And we're going to hop into the NBA. We just got breaking news.
Woj bomb.
Josh, hop into it, sir.
Yeah, so DeAndre Ayton, the center of the Phoenix Suns, who has they've been going at it head-to-head like all season. I know at the start of last year, he was like, I want my money. And they're like, dude, we're not paying you because you don't do anything for us, really. So the Indiana Pacers, who are the front runner for the last like week or so, have offered him $133 million for a max offer sheet, which actually ends up being the largest in NBA history. Me and Greg were just talking about this. Like, how is that the largest?
Yeah.
But I kind of have an idea of it because most teams typically would re-sign their first round top three pick.
You would assume
this,
so, yeah.
At this point in their career. But Ayton's kind of been like a steady guy. He's a good center, but I don't think he's a max guy, you know? Like Phoenix has been saying, like, you've been giving us like 16-9 for like three seasons now, and you're not a very good defender. So, yeah. Like, we can go get that anywhere else for less money. So, like, why would we give that to you? Well, obviously, ain't chasing the bag. But the Suns have 48 hours to match. So, I'm sure the Suns are picking up the phone right now. They're like, hey, why don't we do our sign and trade deal? We had something going there, and you guys just kind of bailed on us. Stop answering our calls, whatever. I could see Miles Turner ending up in a Phoenix jersey next year, which I'd be all for. I'm a big Miles. I love Miles Turner. Really good player. Not on the max, so that's also good for them. But at the same time, Indiana can just be like, nah. We're not doing it.
Yeah, they could be like that, yeah.
And then Phoenix is left in a pickle. They're like, hey, we're just about to lose this guy for free, or we have to pay him the money he wants, which is definitely not what they want to do. So, yeah, they're in a bit of a pickle right now.
They are indeed in a little bit of a pickle. And we see here that two big centers who, DeAndre Ayton's a good player, you know.
Yeah, he's good.
I guess, obviously, they don't want to give him the money, I guess, maybe, because he's not as good as they thought he was going to be. But
and they're also paying Devin Booker and Chris Paul
a lot
of money.
They are in some cap hell. So, yeah.
So if you offer DeAndre Ayton, like, he's absorbing a lot of money for the next 4 years, which they're just saying, like, I don't know how much higher your ceiling is going to get, which is fair. It's a fair judgment.
It is fair. So what do we – how much is Miles Turner?
I don't think it's a max.
His contract?
That's all I know.
Let me Google his contract.
I don't think it's a max.
Miles
Turner. If it's a max, I'll be kind of shocked. But at least if you get Miles Turner, like, you get a better rim protector than DeAndre Ayton. And I'd say probably similar skill offensively. And he can step out and shoot the three. So
he signed a four-year, $80 million deal extension.
Yeah, so
it's not a max.
Yeah, it's not a max. So they're paying him roughly $20 million a year.
17 and a half a year, yeah.
Yeah, so that's good.
So, yeah, that's solid. If they can – he's a free agent next year. So are they going to wait till next – are they going to trade for him?
Well, so if you do a sign and trade, then at least you get him, and then you have an opportunity to re-sign him this season. But – I don't know what's going to happen.
So
I'm kind of happy, man. I don't like the Suns. So
fair enough. So let's say they do trade. They do that trade, and then they sign a trade for Miles Turner. How much is Miles Turner going to get?
He'll get the whole thing because he's going to be under contract. But it's going to be a sign and trade. Like, what's going to happen is it's going to be a sign and trade. So DeAndre Ayton gets the signature, right? He gets his contract, and then they give Miles Turner over. And then at that point, they can choose if they want to re-sign him or not.
No, yeah. So do you think they're going to give him an extension when they sign him is what I'm saying?
I mean, I would.
I would too, but how much money is he going to make?
I'd probably say from the 64 to 80 million range again.
So you think he's going to make another $80 million?
Over four years?
$80 million? Or do you know that he's going to get more than that?
No. He's also been, like, last year he, like, was, like, in and out of the lineup constantly. He had some injuries. But he's another guy where I think he's reached his ceiling. I just think, like, I would take him for the $17.5 million over DeAndre Ayton because he's a better rim protector, which is what the Suns really need.
Fair enough. So let's say that does happen. We saw what happened with the Suns last year and with the Mavs and whatever. And people thought the Suns were going to go back to the West Finals, and I don't know what happened with them. They just choked. But
They were talking too much.
Yeah, they were. And if you do make that trade for Miles Turner, what do you think the Suns can do now with that trade? Because they do have a rim protector now, which Ayton was but he wasn't like Miles Turner.
I think they're still a contender in the West. I don't think they're a contender for the Finals. I think like a lot of teams in the East just beat them. Just because you have Chris Paul on your team, so he's just not allowed to win a championship, apparently.
Yeah, which is kind of unfortunate for him because, you know, he's one of the best point guards to ever play the game. So
yeah, probably top five.
It's kind of, you know, will he ever get a ring is the question we're going to ask, which I don't think he will, unfortunately.
Maybe, but I don't think when he does win one, I don't think he'll be a part of the lineup.
Yeah, he'll be like a
he'll just
a bench
be like there.
Yeah,
he'll be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He might be like a seventh, eighth man.
Another news. I'm pretty sure on the show I was correct. You know, a few months ago I said Utah blow it up. They're blowing it up.
They did.
They're saving my boy Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
I'm happy. He's going to be in New York. Like I said, that's where I'd like to see him go, get him a big stage. Obviously, nothing's final yet, but New York's about the only team that is throwing a package right now, and I'm cool with it because I think that'd be great.
So let's say New York does trade for him.
No, they're still not good.
Yeah.
they're still not good.
They're still definitely not good. But they, let's say they do, okay? And then you have a good, like, young core, though. You know, you have Mitchell, you have RJ Barrett, you have Obi Toppin.
So some of those guys are going to be gone in this Mitchell trade, for sure.
Oh, that's true, yeah. They're going to go back the other way. You're not wrong.
Yeah. So, something's going to have
so
to go
So if
back.
They trade for Mitchell, like, he's going to be alone there, technically.
No, it's going to be him, Mr. Brunson, you know, the...
Oh,
the
yeah. 16, sorry, 16
point per game max contract.
Sorry, I forgot
player.
About him.
forgot about him. Julius Randle. Hopefully, he can kind of.
Oh, I forgot Julius Randle.
Re energize himself because obviously, his first year in the Knicks, he was really good. Led him to the playoffs last year.
He was
year.
Almost an MVP candidate in that year.
Yeah, he was really good. And then in the playoffs, everyone's like, hey, we can just double team him and he can't do anything.
Yeah, he can't do anything.
And now he's just like, I don't know what is wrong with him, but he does not like being in New York.
Yeah.
I think it's just because the fans are really like bitter. Like, they expect a lot from their team, but. Yeah, he just does
Which
not
is,
want to be there.
That's just a New York market, yeah, though, right? Like, their fans are just like that. They expect
yeah,
the best.
They're like one of the biggest franchises in NBA history, but they're a poverty franchise. It's kind of sad.
yeah.
Yeah, and that's really it. Chet Holmgren, good or bust? What do you think?
I think he's going to be fine.
I think he's going to be pretty good. But like, but he's going to get hurt like
the
very early.
And the what's it called? The what do you say when somebody gets like his health is going to be an issue because I think he's going to get injured a lot because like, I couldn't stumble on it, but his health's going to be an issue because he's going to get injured a lot because
I think so, yeah.
When you're that big going against, let's say, you know, 300-pound Joel Embiid, he's going to kill him.
Joel, Giannis, like I see so many memes of his like first time Chet against Giannis, and it's just like Giannis like
He's going to get bulldozed, and like, he's going to get hurt.
In like 10 years, when he gets his first like his interview, and like, what's your NBA moment? It's going to be like, oh, the first time I felt Giannis' shoulder in my chest. Like, I thought he just collapsed my whole
how
chest.
How much does he weigh?
Dude, I think I weigh more than him.
I think you do.
This guy looks like he weighs like 150 pounds.
Yeah, like
he definitely doesn't. He probably weighs
like 190, no?
190, 200 around, yeah. But still. Like,
but he doesn't look it at all.
He's so skinny.
Like, he got bullied by Kenny Lofton Jr. in Summer League.
Bro. Badly.
Yeah.
Kenny Lofton was moving him. Like, NBA guys have
Kenny Lofton low key looks nice, though. I'm not going to lie.
Dude, he's going to be on that Memphis roster for sure. He's going to go back and forth from the G League, but he'll make that team for sure. Yeah, man. I don't know about Chet.
I don't know either, but we're going to move on now because we're at the 8-minute mark. So we're going to talk about
the local sports.
The local sports and the game we went to last week. So, Josh, you want
to
recap?
Last week, me and Greg in our men's rec league, you know, we weren't getting much love in that league. So, the commish was nice enough to allow us to shoot for tickets. So I went up, you know, wet, hit a nice little three. And me and Greg got free tickets. You know, it was kind of funny. My girlfriend was there, and I asked Greg first, and he just kind of gave me this look.
I was like...
And then I was like, I just went to her, because I already knew she was going to say no. I was like, hey, do you want to come? And she's like, no. And I was like, Greg, we're going.
we're definitely going, yeah.
So, yeah, we went. Good night to go. First ever blackjack game I went to.
And it was a lot of fun.
And it was a lot of fun. Yeah. You know, had some beers, some expensive food. Getting out of parking was terrible.
It was so bad.
But they won by 50, which...
Franchise record.
Yeah. I think it tied... They set the record for the least amount of points scored in a game against. They held Saskatchewan to 50 points, and they scored 101 or something.
Yeah.
51-point blowout, massive. Largest margin of win as well. And Dan Gundel scored like 2 points. It was wild.
Yeah, their best player didn't really do anything.
He had so many open shots, and he's like, nah, and just like dished it, whatever. I don't know. He just didn't want to score. But hey, they does not matter. They killed Saskatchewan.
They did, and a big part of that was because Walt Lemon just had the game of his life. Like, he was just going off. He was finishing over like 7-foot guys. It was crazy.
I think there had to have been some beef there because I know in the first quarter, every time he scored, he grilled the bench.
Saskatchewan bench.
He was staring at it with this little smirk. So, like, I don't know if they cut him or something. Like, he was tried out for them, and they were like, nah, you have a broke jumper. You're not playing here, or what it was. But he circled that game and was like, hey, I'm going off. And he went off. He was jelly, everything. He was going crazy.
Yeah, he was finishing everything. Like, every time he got to the rack, like, he was finishing. It was crazy.
It was crazy.
The free throws were not great, obviously. He doesn't have a great, you know, jump shot. That's not very good. But we're not going to talk about that because they killed them. So.
Yeah, they killed them. And then they played Fraser Valley. That was a 3-game win streak, I think, for them. They played Fraser Valley like 2 days later, who was originally the number one team in the league. And they beat Fraser Valley. They got their redemption from the season opener, because they lost on like a crazy buzzer beater. Or not really buzzer beater, but game winner. And then... They played the other night, and then they played Edmonton again. who they beat a week ago, and they lost by like 8. Edmonton, two-time defending champions, you know, they're really good. But the team to chase in this whole league right now is Hamilton. Hamilton Honey Badgers. They're really good. They're like 12-3 or something right now. They're killing everyone. So I think the Blackjacks play them pretty soon. I kind of want to try and get out to that game because I'm sure it will be a fun game to watch. The Fraser Valley game, Dan Gaudette had 27, I believe. And then the other night against Edmonton, Walt Lemon had like 23 or something.
Yeah, like this. So. I know, you know, Ottawa's not like a top team in the league or anything, but
record-wise, I think talent-wise, they're still
they
up
do there. Have a lot of good players. Yeah. Like, seeing them in person, I was like, man, these guys are good. They like are. That, I don't remember his good. Name. The guy with the headband and the two sleeves and the dreads or the
Ty Green.
Yeah, that guy was good too. I was like, I never heard of this guy.
He's
but
money
he was,
team. He's money
wet.
Team.
Like, he was making everything.
He led the league in 3-point percentage last year.
I can
like,
see why.
Shot like 49% or something crazy like that. Yeah, no, it's just like sometimes just like their pieces aren't there every night. You know, like some nights it's like Walt's having a good game. Dang's like playing okay, but then like all their role player guys, they're just missing everything. And then other nights it's like the role player guys are playing well, but Walt and Dang are nowhere to be found. So it's like they just need to get clicking, get rolling. And obviously it's like doesn't help when they have a whole roster change at the start of the season and then a coaching change. And now they have a whole new system in place. So now they're, you can see them get rolling a bit more.
So the two games you're talking about, which, how many points did they score in the game they won? The one you were just talking about?
Which one? Fraser Valley?
Yeah.
I think it was like 97.
Okay, so, like, they can score.
They can score the ball, but yeah. That's the thing. They all have to be there. Like, they all have to be present that night.
Yeah, they all have to be playing. They have to play. You can't just have one of them playing good and the rest of them, like, whatever. You got to have everybody playing good
together.
It's
more like, it's just their role players. Like, sometimes Jackson Rowe, number 34, they're starting four. Some nights he's, like, wet. Like, he does not miss. And other nights he's, like, he can't even hit the rim. And it's like,
that's a problem.
What's happening?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How did that new guy do that they signed?
Which guy?
Gray?
Great. Well, he played the night we went, and he was really good. Like
he
was really good off the bench for them because it's a guard that they can allow Walt to get the ball out of his hands for one, and two, to give Walt rest. Because at the start of the year, like Coach Joanne was just like Tom Thibbing Walt. He was just like, you're not coming off. And then now Walt can like sit. As you saw, he had like a good cool down in the middle of the game.
He did, literally. We thought he was done playing.
Yeah, it was like third quarter, and the guy just starts stretching, doesn't care, and I was like, dude, he's cooling down already.
Yeah.
He has somewhere to be.
He's saying the game's over, basically, is what he's saying. And then he still came back in. Because I think he wanted to get how many points did he have in that game? It had to have been over 25, right?
I think he had like 26, 27.
Yeah, that makes sense. He maybe just wanted to end the game because he did get the last point with the free throw.
Yeah.
And
I think he's wanted the alum ending.
So we got about 30 seconds here. So real quick, we can talk about the quarterback for the Red Blacks getting injured for the rest of the year, I think.
So they were not happy. People are really mad about it. The Saskatchewan guy came out and apologized for it or whatever. And
he issued an apology.
Yeah, and now the Red Blacks don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, they did sign one. I'm not too sure what his name was, but I'm pretty sure he's from here. So
I think
that was why they signed him.
Isn't it only preseason still too, though?
No, it's a season now.
It's restarted? So they lost their first game then.
Yeah.
To Saskatchewan.
Yeah, so they lost to the Lions and Saskatchewan, but I think that was during preseason.
Yeah, I think now like they just played Saskatchewan last Friday on the 8th, and that was...
No, the season started. Yeah, they're 0-4.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Because
remember last week when we checked, it said that there was 0-0.
Yeah. But, that's all we have, so we can talk about this other stuff later. But after this, we're going to get into the NHL free agency, and we'll stay tuned for the next segment.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Greg Avgropoulos, joined by Josh McGrath-Sagan and my twin, Theo. Thank you for joining us, Theo. And we're going to hop into the UFC segment. So, Josh, I know we're all very excited for the next few months here in the MMA world.
Yep.
We want to get into the card this week and what's going on.
Yeah, this weekend they're in London. So just so everyone knows, it's at 2 p.m. So if you're going to tune in, 2 p.m. ABC or an illegal stream. But it's not a pay-per-view card, which is nice.
So you just throw on the TV.
Yeah, exactly. I can't. I don't have cable.
Oh, you don't have cable. Yeah, I forgot.
No, I don't have cable.
Illegal stream for you.
Exactly. So, night kicks off. Paul Craig versus Uzdemir. I like Uzdemir. He's a good guy. Good fighter. But Paul Craig, really fun to watch. This guy gets mauled on and then just throws up a triangle choke and puts people out. So, super fun. Who you got in that fight, Theo?
it's just because you've seen Paul Gregg recently. He just pulls it right out the bag and gets it done. I think I want to lead. I want to lean Oezdemir this fight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not calling it luck, but maybe Paul Craig's, you know, kind of streaks right now. We're getting clobbered and then throwing up a Hail Mary might end in, you know, home territory, I guess you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of feel that too. I mean, Oezdemir, like, he's fought literally the best of the best in that division. He's had some time off. His last fight was last October. So will there be a little bit of ring rust? Maybe.
Last October?
Last October,
It's been a while.
And he lost a decision to Ankalaev. Paul Craig just fought earlier this year. So
Paul Craig also just beat Ankalaev, but it was another one of those Hail Mary, I think an armbar or maybe a triangle to win it in the last second of the fight.
I don't think he fought Ankalaev.
Paul Craig, I think he did.
He fought Krylov.
Oh, Nikita
Krylov.
Wait, who was the fought? Sorry, I'm
You're good. You're good. You caught yourself.
He didn't say it. Don't worry.
No one heard it.
No, I meant to say.
No one listens anyways.
I meant to say.
I didn't hear anything.
Two viewers. Yeah, because then he fought Jamal Hill and broke Jamal Hill's arm.
He fought Ankalaev in 2018 there. Trying
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I think Ankalaev, though, could. He's not on this card, but he could very well be another light heavyweight contender if he gets through Anthony Smith next week, I think it is.
Which he probably will.
All right, Josh. Move on, Josh. Move on.
All right, next. Molly McCann.
Yeah.
Meatball Molly. Yes, she's super fun to watch. She had that crazy spinning.
Crazy knockout last fight. Yep.
Spinning elbow.
That was super fun. Versus Hannah Goldie. I'm just going to go Molly McCann because she's fun to watch.
Very fun.
Very fun.
Yeah, I do know Hannah Goldie, but she doesn't seem to have as much experience as Molly. Yeah. And also, you know, the crowd, I think, to an extent, does play a role in this. And Molly's back in the UK. I think she'll get the fan support and she'll get it done again.
Yeah. I think so, too. And then we have Krylov, who we were just speaking about.
This is what I'm interested in, this fight specifically.
Versus Mr. Alexander Gustafsson.
And he hasn't fought in a while, has he?
Gustafsson, unsuccessful at heavyweight, maybe 1 or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But Alex, he's one of the best, if not the best, to never win a belt in the UFC. And it's just because of the generation he was in. He was in his prime during the Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier runs.
It's a tough time to be a UFC fighter.
And arguably, he arguably beat Jon Jones the first time.
Exactly. Super the Daniel close. Cormier fight as well, really close split decision win for DC. And now people do say Gustafsson, he's like, oh, he might have slowed down a bit, but I still think he can get it done. He beat Glover Teixeira only 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He beat Jan Blachowicz a bit before that, so he's beaten former champions from the last year. So I do have faith in him getting back into the rankings, winning a few more fights.
Do you think he has a chance to maybe win a title before he retires?
I'd say no.
It's tough to say. I don't think so, but the light heavyweight division, I can see multiple champions just being turning around.
Yeah, it's just going to keep switching hands, I think Jiří will win the next fight against Glover, but I think Jiří will lose to Jan.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
I think Jiří could even lose to Ankalaev, maybe.
Yeah, like... It's
because of his defense.
Light heavyweight division might not be like as deep as people say it is, but... Definitely, like, everyone's on, like, a similar skill level,
right now, it may be the least skill, but I will say there are some fun fights happening in it.
Absolutely. And then next, we have Mr. Paddy the Batty. Everyone's favorite.
Everybody loves Paddy. I know Theo doesn't, but...
Everyone's fat man that gets skinny within 2 weeks. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's crazy the way his body works.
Yeah, man, I don't know.
And that doesn't seem healthy, though.
Versus the twerk man, Jordan Levat. I hope Paddy wins this, because I do not want to see this man go in the ring just twerking on Paddy after, but it's very possible.
I do rate Paddy for taking that fight, because Jordan is actually, he's much more skilled than Paddy's last two fighters.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Both guys he fought were cut right afterwards. Jordan's at least on a win streak, I believe.
But also, Paddy got dropped in both those fights.
Yeah, because I think, I don't know how he'll do it, because they've both been talking a lot at each other. Paddy's kind of saying, like, oh, Jordan doesn't have any striking. We can grapple, but our grappling's even, I guess you could say. But Paddy leaves himself open very much.
Yeah.
He whiffs on a lot of strikes.
He overthrows a lot.
Yeah.
He throws up Hail Marys that knockout. The submission attempt was against a guy that has really no grappling, and he got flipped by Paddy. I think he used a judo takedown. So I do think Levat can get it done by decision. So it might be... It might ruin the mood of a lot of people in London.
Bro, that'd be depressing.
The fans are going to raid the
octagon after.
They might start throwing stuff, dude.
Levat is a legitimate fighter, though. He only lost once to, I forget his name, he's from Peru. He recently beat Clay Guida, so he might even end up in the rankings in a few fights as well.
True. And then Mr. Jack Hermanson, one of the guys I thought was kind of a sleeper in this weight class, but he has not been doing well lately, versus Chris Curtis, who is replacing Darren Till, who had another knee injury. Very sad.
Paid.
Yeah, feel bad for Darren Till because obviously he didn't get it done at 170. And since the transition to 185, he's has not been able to get a single win or a fight even because he's just hurt all the time. I think Chris Curtis is going to get this done, in my opinion. Because Hermanson, like I said, like he's had a rough go the last few fights. He's been getting beat up on. I mean, obviously, he has that key win over Kevin Gastelum in like 30 seconds. We just went ankle picked him, which was pretty wild. But Chris Curtis, fun fighter to watch. Very fun.
I'd be interested to see. So Chris Curtis is Sean Strickland's teammate who recently beat Jack Hermanson. It's a split decision that should not have been split anyway. It was clearly, I would say, 4-1, even 5-0 for Sean. But Chris Curtis, I'm interested to see how he do. He is 35, and I think there might be a bit of size discrepancy when they fight. Well, only a few inches, not terrible. But he just fought 4 weeks ago, and this is quite a big step up from Rodolfo. Yeah. What's his name? Vieira, I think. But I think it might. I think it'd be kind of a fun fight, though. I might lean against Jack for now, but, you know, anything can happen. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, Jack's obviously a great submission artist, so you never know. He could pull something out.
The grappling might be a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. And then the potential future heavyweight champion of the world, Thomas Aspinall, is going against Curtis Blaydes.
And we might miss this fight, unfortunately, which might be
pain. Nah, bro, I'm watching this.
We're watching it at the bar.
Yeah, I do not care. Lana can be, put your phone away and be like, you don't understand the stakes I have right here. Like, leave me alone. So, yeah, Aspinall, Curtis Blaydes. Personally, I'm going Aspinall. He just looks so good. Curtis Blaydes, I think he's going to be one of those gatekeepers for the heavyweight division from here on out. Like, I just don't think he's going to be able to beat a lot of guys in that top, like, 3-5. Maybe Ty is a good fight for him.
Ty would be the best bet he could win. I think he'd get out. It'd be difficult for him to take down someone like Gon. He would definitely get outstruck unless he lands a shot, but I don't think Gon has really been hurt by anyone yet.
No.
But I do like me some Curtis Blaydes just because he was trending on Twitter a while back. It was just funny to see. Never mind. Aspinall's interesting because he does have this threat. He can strike with you and he can grapple you. He does have good submissions. All his fights in the UFC have been finishes, I think.
Yep.
So Aspinall.
He made quick work of Volkov.
He did.
Like a week ago.
Isn't he undefeated in the UFC too?
He is.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
He has, I think, only 2 losses on his career, and they were both before he entered. So I think if Curtis Blaydes wins that fight, he could wrestle him to a decision as long as he doesn't get caught in a submission attempt. And then I do see Aspinall, he could finish Blaydes within maybe by the 3rd round, 4th round.
Yeah. But I mean, Blaydes looked good his last fight.
Oh, against, who was it, Rozenstruik?
Yeah, he just, like, was beating him up and ended up knocking him out. So that was a pretty good fight.
People also forget Curtis Blaydes before, obviously, he got uppercut.
Knocked out by Lewis.
But that was a very dominant, I think, 1st round, though, in that fight.
Yeah.
He clearly won that. If he won that fight, if he didn't get knocked out, he probably would have fought Cyril Gane for the interim title in August of last year.
Yeah.
So I don't want to count Curtis out yet. He's just had some bad luck. His only losses were against some heavy hitters in Ngannou and Derek Lewis.
That's the thing, though. Aspinall can put him out for sure on the feet. Mm-hmm. I just think Aspinall's like skill set is just a nightmare for almost anyone in that division.
Yeah, he's very. It's not really rare you see a lot of heavyweights. Most heavyweights you just see them as big bangers, just strikers. But Aspinall has some really good jiu-jitsu, though. Like,
Not just that, though. Like, his hands are fast, too. Like, he's a really
good striker. He's very fast for his size because he's also quite a big heavyweight. He has a lot of weight on him.
Yeah. So, that's good. Other fights that were announced
yesterday. Literally yesterday. You want to talk about yesterday? You want to talk about...
There was a lot yesterday.
Yeah, there was quite a few yesterday. Yeah. And then there was also the Khamzat and Nate Diaz fight that was announced.
Why'd you say it like that? You just said it weird. Never mind. Keep going.
I just did, Greg. God, stop questioning me. But yeah, so that fight was announced. And then Piotr Jan versus Sean O'Malley was announced.
That one was so weird.
It looks like the UFC really wants to see a murder in the ring. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, two of them, because Nate Diaz and Hosman is also going to be another murder.
Honestly, for Sean, I think he wins either way out of this. He could get dominated. That's what the betting odds are probably going to say.
Yeah.
Or if he somehow pulls off the upset, which I do not think he will, you know, honestly, his stock that really rises plays, even more.
The only thing that plays into his advantage is just the length, because he's just so long, which that's maybe one thing that Piotr can have an issue with.
Piotr, though, he does, like, he will get inside. Yeah. That's kind of his thing.
He just keeps a high guard, that's and he'll true, just walk
he
you does, down.
He has very strong boxing style.
He walks he down will, like a boxer.
He will stand right up with you, just with a high guard. Try to land, like, straight right down the middle is probably his best shot. And he also has some judo. He has some nice kicking game.
Yep.
Sean is susceptible to
leg kicks.
Yep, and a lot of leg injuries in the past. So if Jan can just attack him, obviously it's a tall guy. You're going to attack low, try to set up the right hand, even exchanging clinching, go for some takedowns. I think Jan get it done by decision.
I think Jan's putting him out.
Yeah, putting him out?
I think he's done for? Him
out. Yeah, I think Sean's done, though.
How many rounds?
I'd like to see it.
I'm going to say round three.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like
there's gonna no... He's going to throw another little low leg, and Sean's going to go to... Because Sean fights with his hands down, too, so he's going to go
He's going to grab it,
Eat a right hand, maybe.
And sometimes then, just to grab it, too. Like, he puts his hand down sometimes to try to grab the kick, which is weird, but...
No, a lot of people try and do that, but...
I think because it's a three-round fight, too, so people know Jan starts slow, I think Sean might potentially gas himself in the first round, because he likes to throw a lot of strikes in the opening round.
He's a volume striker, for sure.
And, you know, Jan's going to make those reads. So Sean could try to, like, throw everything he's got at him. Round two, Peter's going to come back even better.
Yeah.
He's going to make some smart reads. He's going to find a way to counter him. And Jan will get it done, I would probably say, fairly easily.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's going to be an easy fight for Jan. And then the other big fight, obviously, Diaz and Khamzat.
Yeah. Nate Diaz has been asking for this one, too, for quite some time now. For some reason. I don't know why.
If I was Nate, and I know he hates Connor, and he's like, Connor sucks, but I would have taken the Connor trilogy.
I would have, too. Follows him.
Just too much money. Yeah. And a very, there's like,
too much going on behind the scenes as well. Him and Dana have not been on good terms either.
Too much money, and I doubt he will die. Against Hazmat, he will die.
Yeah, Hamzat's going to do whatever.
Hamzat opened negative 1,100 favorite.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Not good for Diaz.
No, not at all. Not good. How many runs is that one going?
I think it's only three rounds. They didn't announce if it's... I think it's on the September card. We haven't heard the main event on that one yet, though.
So isn't it the Leon...
that's August. August.
What's the September card? Because we have the October card.
Yeah, the October card set.
The only fight in September that would make sense would be the interim heavyweight title fight. But is John Jones ready? Is Stipe Miocic ready? Because that's what's been being teased a lot. But that could also go to the November card, which is in New York City.
See, here's the thing. I don't think John Jones is ever coming back to the UFC.
None of the title fights set up, though. The only one he could do is an interim belt. And Dana White, John Jones, they keep saying he's the one. I don't know if John Jones is... We know his past. Is he going to show up?
Yeah.
Who knows?
He's unpredictable.
How much time we got?
We got 10 seconds. All right, so... This has been the UFC segment. We had a lot to talk about, obviously. And when we come back, we're going to do a hot topic. First hot topic in quite some time. We haven't done one in a few weeks. So we'll be back for that. I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about the skill gap between MMA and boxing and how they're similar, how they're different. And, yeah, all that good stuff. So stay tuned after these quick few messages.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Last segment of the day here. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, joined by Josh McGrath Segan and my twin brother, Mr. Theo Avgaropoulos. We just had our UFC segment, which was quite eventful, and now we're going to stay on pretty much on par with the UFC, and we're going to talk about the differences between boxing and MMA. So this is our hot topic, our first one in quite some time. Now we're making a return. We scrapped NHL this week because we didn't really have much to talk about. So getting into this, Josh, do you want to talk about, are you pro, like, well, let's start like this. What do you think takes more skill, MMA or boxing?
MMA, 100%.
Elaborate.
Because, and so in boxing, it's very technical. Yes, very difficult sport to learn. But I just think from MMA standpoint, you kind of have to have a basic or like an intermediate understanding of all the different martial arts. And you see it all the time with like guys who are a kickboxer. As soon as they get matched up with a wrestler, it's over. And then they have to take some time to go like figure out how to do proper takedown defense. Where in boxing, it's kind of, you have your different styles. Like obviously you have like the Mayweathers who like, you can't touch me, I'm just going to counterpunch. And then you have the other guys that are just Deontay Wilders, I'm a power puncher, so on and so forth. But I just find in MMA, it's a lot more stylistically difficult for fighters to kind of be prepared for, I guess.
So you know what I mean? So let's say, I know people like to make this argument, so we're going to do this. I hear this one a lot. So basically people say, because people like to say boxing isn't, like MMA fans especially, like to say boxing isn't real fighting because it's just hands being thrown, which I understand their point, but so they like to say, oh, well, in a real fight, an MMA guy would kill a boxing guy if it's like a street fight, because apparently that's what they consider a real fight, which is not a real fight, but you know what I mean.
That's dumb.
Yeah, but going off that, if a boxing guy and an MMA guy, let's say they get into a little bit of a scuffle in like I don't know, they get an argument or whatever, who wins in a fight, a boxing guy or a UFC guy? Or MMA guy?
I think it would really depend who's fighting, obviously, but
yeah,
I'd say overall, probably an MMA guy.
You think so?
I think an MMA guy could take an easy X and just shoot a takedown,
yeah,
that's get him in a submission.
Yeah, he can put him to sleep or break his arm or his leg or his ankle.
I do get that, but like let's say a boxing guy catches the UFC guy first. Like if he gets into range, let's see, what if he catches him first?
Does he know he's going to shoot, though? Is his first instinct he's going to shoot, he's just going to go?
Well, I mean, I guess it really depends who does what first.
Also, though, an MMA guy's going to be more used to getting punched in the face like that because they fight with 4-ounce gloves versus boxers fighting with, like, 12-ounce.
Usually 10, right? I think.
Yeah, 10. Is it depending on the weight class?
Professional, I think, is usually 10.
8, 10, 12. It's, okay. Like, it's usually 8, 10, or 12. I don't know. I don't remember which ones are for which, what, like, class, but...
I think I don't know. Smaller guys.
Yeah.
Typically, the 4-ounce gloves, people tend to hit a little bit harder because there's not as much...
Padding
and stuff, so it's more just straight force to the face. So I think most MMA guys would probably be able to take a punch from a boxer.
You think a boxer with a bare fist,
yeah,
is like you don't think that's knocking out an MMA guy?
Not necessarily.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I disagree because I feel like a boxer would have like a like because they we talked about this in the car. I don't think MMA guys know how to like they know how to. Obviously, they know how to punch, but, like, they don't know how to punch like a boxer knows how to punch. Because, like...
It's also different circumstances.
I think it is. But I'm just saying, because I feel like a boxer would throw a harder punch than an MMA guy would with a bare hand.
Another thing is, like, if the MMA guy wanted to, he could just throw a leg kick at the boxer, and then this guy's done for.
Yeah, true.
Because they sent so narrow, right? So he's going to hit his knee, and that guy's knee's going inwards.
Yeah.
And then the MMA's piecing him up. You know what I mean? Like, I just think there's so many different, like... Sure, if the guy was standing there, hands down, expecting the punch, and the guy, like, sucker punched him, sure, he's probably going out. But if they're going into a fight and they're prepared for it, I don't think they're going to go out.
So, let's say, so we kind of have a little bit of crossovers in sports now with boxers going into MMA and MMA guys going to boxing and stuff like that. Sorry, it's
typically the other way
flipped around. You know what I mean? Yeah. But, so I've been seeing this argument as well because people are saying that Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou might have a fight. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but if it does, people think Francis has a chance because of he has power.
No, so the argument, what Francis wants is a boxing match with 4-ounce gloves. MMA gloves,
yeah.
Which then, sure, he has a chance. If it's a full boxing fight, there's no chance.
Even if it was MMA gloves, I still don't think he has a chance. Because I feel like he wouldn't be able to touch him.
That's my thing. Even if he does have MMA gloves, but you're going to be in a boxing ring 12 rounds. You got all that space to move, and...
He's just going to bomb rush him, though.
He could,
that's what he does anyways.
He would, but I think Fury would be able to move out the way,
But it's like, Fury's such an experienced boxer, and he's a good defensive boxer, so he knows how to get out of the way, and like...
Francis hasn't... No one's... When you fight Tyson Fury, no one's ever fought someone that size before.
Yeah.
Francis uses his reach a lot, and his size kind of to get to guys faster. You're fighting someone 6'9 now, probably with a longer reach. It's like
270. Also, Francis is going to get gassed way quicker. Yeah, because he's going to overthrow a lot, and he's going to...
He went 25 minutes with Gon, but he doesn't have a gas tank.
Yeah.
He looked gassed entering the third round.
He was gassed.
Well, yeah, he was the whole fight. He was dead. You know, he won the fight, obviously, but he won on points because he knew he took him down. He was tired. He's going to lay on him.
Yeah.
That's how he got done. So, if you're going up against Fury, 36 minutes experience in many fights, I don't think he's going to do well. I think Fury might be able to finish him once his gas tank expires. Oh, yeah.
I think he has a puncher's chance. You know, it's in Gone.
He definitely has a puncher's chance.
Everyone in the world. Anyone is able to get knocked out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no, I get that.
It's about chance.
They definitely have a puncher's chance for sure. Like, I would say that the odds are not high at all, though, like that he would knock out Tyson Fury at all. Because
if I was a betting
once again,
man,
I don't think he's going to touch him personally.
If I was placing a bet, I would put Tyson Fury on it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I'd put all the money I'd have on him, to be honest. But if I lose it, well, then all the power to Francis. But going off of that, so. This is kind of an odd one, but let's say a boxer goes into... So who do you think has a better chance? A boxer going versus an MMA fighter in UFC or an MMA fighter fighting a boxer in boxing?
MMA going to boxing. Like, depends. If it's let's say you put like a Khabib in the boxing ring versus a professional boxer, it's gonna be a massacre.
Yeah,
that Khabib's getting pieced up.
Yeah,
but even look at like Conor when he went and fought Floyd, it wasn't as bad as what everyone thought it would be.
Yeah,
like he did land some punches, he had his moments in the fight and stuff. He ended up losing, obviously, but he had his moments. So I think like a pure striker with a boxing background, he can still go and, you know, not necessarily compete to the highest level, but he can still go in there and show off his thing and do his thing. But I think a boxer going to MMA, nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare for them.
I do get that, but let's say they do have, like, a bit of training beforehand. So it's like they kind of learn how to, like, stuff a takedown and, like, just try to protect from that. So, yeah, like,
but
if they learn that, like, don't you think they have a, like, if they catch him with a punch, like, it's done for?
My argument is, look at Alex Pereira.
Yeah.
He goes, kickboxer, obviously, but he's fought, like, 6 times. I still don't even think he's a good martial artist. He's just gotten good matchups, yeah, and he's won using his striking. You know, he put out Sean Strickland, which the way he fights, though, was perfect for Alex. They knew what they were doing. He's not going to shoot or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the matchup. If you get a boxer at like fights like maybe cruiserweight or a bit lower, goes up and goes to 185 and fights Sean as well, they might do the same that Alex would do against him. So I kind of lean, I think a boxer might have a better chance, but it always depends on who you're fighting.
Yeah, that's my.
The fighters also depend like who's fighting who. Yeah, that also makes a difference.
Obviously, in like certain circumstances, you'll be fine. Like it'd be like if Alex Pereira came over to the UFC and his first 3 matchups were against pure wrestlers. I'm sure he doesn't have the same trajectory his career's had as he does now. But then again, at the same time, MMA always starts on the feet.
Yeah.
So you never know, right? There's always that what-if scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just cool to just think about, like, what if this happened or what if this happened? Because we see nowadays other athletes going into other sports and stuff, which kind of, I guess, like, I'm not going to lie, I guess, like, the YouTubers kind of created that because, like, Jake Paul kind of created, like, the guys going into other sports. Yeah. Like,
I think social media really just elevated it.
Yeah, I mean, they have all the leverage in these companies, especially like obviously not with the UFC because you're signing a full contract. It's going to be hard to get one. But if you're going to boxing, it's like a freelance sport pretty much.
Yeah.
So.
And so this is another thing I want to touch on. Do you think, because I feel like a lot of MMA fans kind of just hate on boxing just for the sake of hating on boxing, which I understand. Like boxing is more of a boring sport for them for sure because they like to see like, you know, like guys getting bum rushed and stuff like that, and like, you know, takedowns and all that stuff. But do you think that a lot of MMA guys or like fans, fighters, anything, do you think they're jealous of boxing because they make more money?
I mean, I don't think the fans, I think the fighters are.
Like, do you think because of the way it's promoted, like that they're jealous of the sport?
So I think from MMA fan standpoint, I think the reason they don't like boxing is because of how, I guess, corrupt it's become.
Well, yeah, fair.
If you look at the scoring system, boxing is really bad in Las Vegas, for example. They have some of the worst officiating, honestly, just judges-wise. Yeah.
And also, they don't have, like, a true organization, per se. There's, like, literally 150 belts per weight class, you know? So I think that's why MMA fans don't like it. It's because it's, like, watered down now.
Yeah.
Whereas in MMA, it's, like, vice versa. We still have all the organizations. It might change soon because of the class action lawsuit. But as of right now, like, there's organizations, there's different matchups that people always want to see from like the PFL, like Cale Harrison coming over and fighting Nunes. People always wanted to see that. People want to see Ryan Bader come back and fight, finally get the DC fight, like stuff like that. Where in boxing, it's just kind of like every week there's like a different event from a different promoter and all that stuff. So I think that's why people get mad.
I think also top MMA promotions, the best like fighters you have are more likely to fight each other than boxing, because boxing, you're always going to be in the country. You're going to fight a guy lower ranked, even if he's not good. You rarely see
champs fight each other. Boxers duck a lot. They duck opponents for sure.
Yeah.
Which I understand. I mean,
to be fair,
why
wouldn't you?
No, yeah, I get that. Because
you
get
the bag, fight a guy that's like 500 record when you're 27-0. You're going to do it.
But like obviously people don't like that because they want to see the best fight available. But I get it, though, because like UFC, the matchmaking is definitely a lot better because they actually make fights people want to see, which, I mean, I guess this week, not really. But, like, in general, usually they do. And boxing, it's kind of like fighters pick and choose. Like, oh, do they want to versus this guy? Yeah, no, not really. Then we will take somebody else. And they don't really want to verse, like, the best of the best until, like, I guess they're older and, like, they don't really care as much anymore. But, like, I guess that's one. I guess another beef MMA fans would have with boxing is the matchups are never as good as they should be.
I think another one, this isn't obviously all MMA, but UFC's had the most influence in it, is Dana White's attitude towards boxing since, like, 2009, I think, maybe, when he first went on some rant about on, like, I think the Nevada State Athletic Commission.
And he roasted De La Hoya.
Oh, yeah, the De La Hoya incident. And there's a lot of MMA fans who kind of idolize Dana White. It's, you know,
it's like a mini cult.
Yeah, it's
you've
odd.
Seen it. So they go with whatever he says, but he also ignores other things by attacking boxing. He's ignored fighter pay by saying, oh, if they were paid a lot, they'd be like boxing where, you know, they're just not going to accept fights with other guys. And I understand that, but at the same time, I think because Dana White convinces all of these MMA fans that, oh, boxing's a terrible sport, they just automatically assume, boxing's, you know, it's not for me. I don't like how they do it because Dana White says they don't do it correctly, so I'm not going to like it. And that's only because there's a small percentage of fans who are just loyal to him and everything he says. And same with other promoters as well, I guess, in the MMA world.
Fair enough. Josh, anything else to add before we go?
Just quickly on fighter pay.
Yeah.
If UFC fighters want to get paid more and they want to get like the Sean O'Malley, the McGregor money and stuff, they need to be better at promoting themselves. They can't just rely on the promotion to do it for them. So that's where I see from like the UFC standpoint why they don't pay people as well as boxing. Because one, like obviously they're a business, they have to make money. But they could definitely pay people more. They just don't do the best at promoting themselves.
For sure. And yeah, so we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Good debate. All right. So that was our first hot topic in weeks. They did pretty well. So yeah, that's been the show for this week. We'll be back next week. I'm not sure what we're going to discuss. We'll figure that out when we get there. But Theo, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And yeah, this has been our show for this week. I'm Greg Avgaropoulos, Josh McGrath, and Theo Avgaropoulos. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.